Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's a crisis in forensic science going on, namely mounting evidence that forensics rely on flawed science and that experts overstate their accuracy in court. Take, for example, hair analysis, once a commonly trusted tool in criminal trials. You know, when an expert would testify that they found strands of hair on the victim that matched the perpetrator's hair. Well, this was before DNA analysis came on the scene, and it turns out that hair analysis without the DNA part is very subjective and potentially very flawed, even though it was used by the FBI for more than 30 years. That's why in 2013, the Obama administration launched the National Commission on Forensic Science, an independent committee charged with improving the reliability of forensics and creating uniform standards across the country. Well, last month, Attorney General Jeff Sessions disbanded the commission. Sessions said the Justice Department will conduct its own review of forensic science. We're joined now by one of the commission's former members, Suzanne Bell. She's a chemistry and forensic science professor at West Virginia University. Suzanne Bell, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, you and five other commission members wrote a letter to Attorney General Sessions asking him to renew the commission's charter. He did not. But what do you worry will happen without the work that the commission was doing?
Well, we're concerned about the loss of the commission because it was the first large-scale effort on the national level to get essentially all the players in the room. We had everybody from defense and prosecution through victims' advocates and the group that signed the letter, which included me, which were independent academic scientists.
Yeah.
And we found that it was once we got to know each other and to work together, it was actually very productive because those groups have – on occasion spent more time talking past each other than to each other. So it was a very good bringing together of different expertise.
Mm. At the beginning of our conversation, I said that forensic science is in a crisis. That's my take on the situation. Do you agree? Is there a crisis going on?
Crisis, I'm not sure I would say crisis, but certainly we're at a turning point and a critical turning point because there has been an awful lot of progress since the 2008 report by the National Academy of Sciences National Research Council, which started to bring a lot of that to light.
Well, if I can just jump in here,
sure.
that report basically took to task almost every one of the familiar aspects of forensic science that we know about: fingerprinting, firearms identification, bite mark analysis, blood spatter, hair, handwriting. They found that almost all of them were scientifically unsound.
Certainly the ones that are based in pattern evidence have different levels of having gone through the validation progress. But other disciplines that aren't maybe as well known, for example, the forensic chemistry, which has been going on for many, many years, has gone through a little bit different crucible. It's interesting because the disciplines that were highlighted, the pattern evidence disciplines, really were developed more as a tool for law enforcement, where things like DNA came out of the traditional scientific process of research and then being adopted by the community, much as chemistry did.
I see.
So those disciplines didn't really have the same scientific birthing, if you will, as the other, the chemistry and DNA.
Right. You know, what's interesting, though, is that, of course, in a court of law, we're asking a jury of one's peers to weigh the evidence, right? And they are relying on testimony from experts. So I think that's part of the problem here is that there was this sense that juries weren't qualified enough, not out of any fault of their own, but to really be able to accurately and fairly weigh the evidence when so much of the science was uncertain.
Certainly, yeah. That's one of the great ironies of this system because if you look at it, we're asking judges and juries to make decisions on science, which is really difficult. It's almost – it's kind of crazy. It's like asking me to weigh in on precedent or legal decisions. And as science and technology have advanced, that problem's got even worse. So that's one of the things that came up in the commission is that in many ways science and the law are different. We think of them – as using truth, but really the methodology is different.
Yeah.
You know, the legal system is based on argument. The scientific system is based on different versions of the scientific method, and those two don't – it's a shotgun marriage at best.
Right. You know, one of the things that Attorney General Sessions said is that much of the forensic analysis or forensic science is done at the state level anyway, implying that he didn't feel the need to have a set of robust national standards. I mean, he has a point there. Of course, we here in Massachusetts, when we think of state forensic analysis, it's a complicated issue here in this state. But to the AG's broader point, what do you make of that?
Well, it's absolutely true. Most of the forensic analysis does occur at the state and local level. And the federal laboratories that are under the Department of Justice in many ways are model laboratories. I mean, they also have resources that the state and local laboratories don't have. And that's one point that I think is often missing, is an understanding by the public of how much it costs to do something even like accreditation, which I think everybody in the forensic science community agrees is important, and there's no doubt about that. But that takes resources, time and money, and more than goodwill. And I think forensic science needs the national platform to help folks get the resources that they need to do the right thing.
Yeah. You know, again, in Massachusetts, we can't help but to think of what happened with Annie Ducan and the fact that more than 21,000 cases, criminal cases, were thrown out because of the actions of her, just one chemist, and all the evidence that she handled and falsification of lab results, et cetera. I mean, that was a systemic failure here in the state of Massachusetts. I mean, is there anything that you know, your commission could have done or would have looked at that may have addressed things like that?
Well, certainly one accreditation would have, I think, in my opinion, would have stopped that.
Yeah.
You can never stop a rogue analyst completely. But accreditation has several layers of review, and it would have, you know, you have to look at that failure as a failure of management and accreditation. So that's something that the commission looked at, and indeed we made a very clear statement about supporting universal accreditation and helping laboratories to set out a pathway to accreditation in recognition of how difficult a process that is.
Hmm. Well, the Attorney General says that the Department of Justice will be conducting its own internal review. We'll see what comes out of that. But I'm just wondering, Suzanne Bell, there are a lot of people listening who one day may end up serving on juries. And what's your advice to them in terms of what to think about or how to conceive of forensic evidence if it's ever presented to them in court?
Well, it's a difficult thing. And part of our job as witnesses is to be educators in that sense. We have to do the best we can to educate the jury so they can properly weigh the evidence. And it's a two-stage process. It has to be admitted, and that's the case. That's the stage where we go through the review of scientific validity, and ideally what the jury hears has gone through that process and has met the requirements for that. But then it also is incumbent on the expert to do a good job of explaining, but we're not always free to do that.
Yeah.
We have to answer the prompts of the attorneys.
What do you think is at stake if the DOJ's internal review doesn't end up being as robust as the one that the commission had hoped to do?
Well, first, I think we have to wait and see how they form that review. I think the presence of independent scientists is absolutely critical. I mean, the Department of Justice is staffed with an awful lot of dedicated people, and so we're not necessarily concerned about those folks, but my feeling is, personally anyway, is in agreement with the National Academy report that forensic science needs to be independent. I mean, it needs to be independent from a prosecutorial agency just as it has to be independent from defense.
Well, Suzanne Bell is a chemistry and forensic science professor at West Virginia University. She's also a former member of the now defunct National Commission on Forensic Science. Professor Bell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciated it.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.